This is the Maria Verona teleconference with iAdvise for Wednesday, October 24th, 2012 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Good day. My name is Jeff, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise, and after the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Maria Verona. Ma'am, you may begin your conference.
Thank you and good day, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you to Megacable's third quarter 2012 conference call. Please note that statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, and financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the quarterly release, which was distributed yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the report and would like to be added to the mailing list, contact us in New York at 212-406-3691. With us today from Megacable are Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions after the presentation. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Yamuni. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, Maria, and welcome to Megacable's third quarter 2012 conference call. Today's discussion will provide some context as well as further detail with regard to the company's results, which were distributed yesterday. I will begin my portion of the call by discussing the company's most significant operating and financial highlights for the third quarter and accumulated periods of 2012. I am pleased to announce that for the first time in Megacable's history, the company will discuss a dividend payment. Tomorrow, the board of directors and the company shareholders will hold a general ordinary shareholders meeting, but it is expected that they will approve a dividend policy based on a specific plan regarding the distribution of dividends, taking into account two basic objectives. One is maximizing the benefits of the company and the shareholders, and second, providing liquidity to the stock. The company also continues to undertake significant advertising efforts under the Yo brand, seeking to position the brand within the company's service areas. Megacable's advertising is focused on communicating the company's low-cost triple-play packages with tremendous success using globally recognized spokespersons such as Patrick Dempsey. In addition, Megacable successfully migrated the company's 3 megabit broadband subscribers to 5 megabits, continuing efforts to demonstrate to both customers and the market that Megacable provides the best broadband solutions and services. Megacable continued to implement its digitalization program in the most important cities of the company's coverage area. Currently, 13 systems are fully digitalized. As a result of the end of the quarter, Megacable added over 258,000 digital subscribers compared to 1 year ago. This program will enable the operating efficiency via increasing network capacity while processing the ability to offer premium packages to subscribers at lower prices. Furthermore, Megacable's portion of the GTAC long-haul network is fully operational and will start to reflect savings and efficiencies as well as new and better services to our subscribers. In conclusion, Megacable is working hard to become stronger and more competitive while maintaining the company's leadership position in the market. I will now pass the call to Raimundo and Luis for their presentations. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Thanks once again for participating on this call as well as for your continued interest in Megacable. For the third quarter 2012, Megacable reported sales exceeding 2.2 billion pesos as a result of the addition of more than 385,000 RGUs from third quarter 11 to third quarter 2012 due to increased sales of bundled services. During the third quarter, the video, internet, and telephony segments all presented subscriber growth. The broadband internet segment registered the best performance in terms of net adds, increasing its base by more than 61,000 net additions compared to second quarter 2012, and more than 153,000 compared to same quarter in 2011. representing an outstanding 8.3% and 23.7% growth respectively. This was mainly due to the tremendous success of the company's back-to-school campaign, as well as the increase in broadband speed and service performance. 5 megabits is now the lowest speed we offer, like Enrique mentioned before. As well, video subscribers reported 9% growth when comparing the third quarter 2012 with the third quarter 2011, adding 172,394 subs. While the telephony segment reported a 13% increase with 60,000 new subscribers in the third quarter 2012 versus third quarter 2011. As a result, the company posted a 13% increase in RGUs, totaling more than 3.3 million units as of September 30, 2012, while unique subscribers totaled more than 2.1 million units, thus increasing RGUs per unique subscriber from 1.56 in third quarter 11 to 1.59 in third quarter 2012. In order for current and potential Megacable subscribers to identify the company as one that offers first-class services in entertainment, Megacable will launch a new campaign integrating advanced video services that Megacable has improved itself, such as on-demand, HD, DVR, and more premium channels, all of which are sent to our new national backbone via GTAC. This new concept seeks to refresh subscribers' opinions of Megacable's digital services. The campaign called Megacable HD Interactive will include channels across the entertainment spectrum, world-class content, and most important, the HD MPEG 4 and interactive video experience. At the end of 2012, 70% of the subscribers of Compass will have access to this service. Megacable's corporate business unit, MetroCable, has undertaken an ambitious project that will introduce customers to the latest Megacable cloud solutions, providing access to the latest technologies and applications aimed to the majority of the company's enterprise subs, including small and medium businesses. Today, IT is experiencing a shift from the traditional client server to the cloud. Going forward, businesses and other organizations will look to consume and deliver IT as a service. Cloud promises to make IT not just cheaper, but also faster, easier, more flexible, and more effective for this market. Through Megacable's cloud service offerings, the company can capture recurring and new subscription fees that generate incremental revenue, but most importantly, to provide a competitive service that retain and bring loyal customers to our company. Referring to MetroCable subscribers growth, the video segment increased 25% in the number of subscribers from third quarter 2012 to third quarter 2011 to third quarter 2012, achieving more than 30,000 video subscribers. On the other hand, the internet and telephony segment registered an increase of 19% from third quarter 11 to third quarter 12, totaling 55,000 internet and 23,000 telephony business subs as of September 30, 2012. As Enrique mentioned, the company continued to market the Joe brand, offering the best bundle packages in the market. Currently, the company is offering triple play with basic digital, 5 megabits, and telephony with unlimited local calls and long distance to U.S. and Canada, plus 100 minutes to mobile phones for only 217 pesos per month per service, 649 pesos total, providing the best triple play products in the market. As mentioned on previous conference calls, Megacable is always innovating and surprising the market with the best product offerings to customers. Along those lines, the company is offering Mega Red Broadband with internet speeds of 50 and 100 megabits per second, allowing for video games, movies, video on demand, video conferencing as well. These services are provided from the DOCSIS 3.0 platform to fully leverage the company's network, investment, and technology. Nevertheless, the expansion and upgrade of the network will continue now to the Wi-Fi spectrum, so customers will continue to find more hotspots to use internet service. With that, I conclude my portion of the call. I will now pass the call to Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial Officer, for his presentation on the quarterly unaccumulated 2012 financial results. Luis.
Thank you, Raimundo, and welcome, everybody. I will briefly discuss the company's financials before proceeding to Q&A. Service income maintained a positive trend and rose 11% in the third quarter to reach 2,257 million pesos versus the 2,038 million pesos reported in 2011. Overall revenue growth was best explained by the company's effective commercial and marketing strategies, as well as the promotional effects on sales. Consolidated EBITDA grew 6% in the third quarter 2012 compared to the same period of 2011, reaching 915 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 40.5%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 7% in the third quarter 2012 compared to the same period in 2011, to total 899 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 41.5%. Net income in third quarter 2012 totaled 461 million pesos, 23% growth compared to the same period of 2011, mainly due to operational efficiency and higher financial income. Comprehensive financing income net in third quarter 12 reached 27.5 million, broken down by 19.5 million pesos in net financial income and net interest income of 8 million pesos. Regarding capital expenditures, during the third quarter, Megacable invested 599 million. This investment was mainly allocated towards the purchase of internal subscriber equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, and the purchase of fixed assets. Finally, regarding Megacable's financial structure, it is worth mentioning that the 2,100 million bank liability, which is due by August 2013, is now classified as a short-term liability. The company has yet to decide if it will refinance this loan or what strategy it will undertake. As mentioned in previous calls, the company cash generation provides Megacable with the ability to fund operations and pay liabilities. For the quarter, net debt once again reflected a net free cash position above 600 million. With that, my presentation is complete. We can now move to questions and answers. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we will open the floor for questions. And if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. Star one on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they're received. And if at any time you would like to remove yourself from the question queue, just press star two. Again, to pose a question, dial star one on your touch-tone phone now. Our first question comes from Jennifer Leonard from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to ask on the dividend, what is prompting Megacable to make this decision now? And will this be a regular or a special dividend? How much is being proposed? Or could you give us a range that you will be proposing to shareholders? Thank you.
Well, yes. The reasons I mentioned them in the portion of my speech. It's basically because we think that we can do it without giving away the possibility of still being a consolidator. Our balance sheet is extremely strong, very strong. We have a very high leverage capacity. Our cash position is positive. We have more cash than debt, and the company keeps growing its free cash flow generation. And on the other hand, we think we can benefit the company by doing it because we really want to have a better liquidity in the stock. And we have been receiving questions and suggestions by different people, analysts and investors and the community of the public market that it would be a good idea if we do a dividend to provide better liquidity to the stock. And since we don't see that as a threat for the company to really keep growing or being a consolidator or doing acquisitions that we think we can do in the future, we decided that it would be a good idea to suggest it to the shareholders, to the shareholder. So that's why we decided to propose that tomorrow in a shareholder assembly. Regularly, well, yes, if we don't have a better use for the money. What I mean is, if the company in the future is in the same position with cash, and we think that we should do that as a regular policy, but it's not an obligated policy. You know, we can change at any time. If we see that we need that cash to do acquisitions or we have a better use for the cash. If that answers your question, Jennifer.
Yes, that's great. And do you have an idea of the range of what's being proposed?
Yeah, the range is going to be a percentage of the EBITDA of the company. We think it's going to be around the 15%, 14%, 16%, I don't know. It's of the previous year. So in case we shareholders decide to do it, it's going to be a percentage of the EBITDA of the last year, the 2011.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Garcia from Citibank.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking the question. My question is regarding the guidance you provided at the beginning of the year. And now that we have reached the 9 months, some of the guidance seems to be a little bit challenging for the fourth quarter, mostly like revenues and EBITDA and video net addition. So I just wanted to have your comments or your opinion regarding if you guys are still think you could grow revenues by 11% and EBITDA by 13% this year. Thank you.
Sure. So we have been reviewing also the numbers and the results, and we have made some small changes, minor changes in some areas. And for instance, for revenues, we expect to maybe not reach the 11%, but we think that we will reach about 10% and a little bit above maybe.
10.5.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of EBITDA, we think we are going to grow in the range of 7%. That's more.
You said more or less. 7?
Like 7?
7%? You said 7%?
That's correct.
Yes, we will get that. This is Raimundo, Alex. Yes, according to all your estimates and what we've seen, you know, we did have a very outstanding third quarter, but you know the growth that we're having in subscribers won't get to where we wanted in terms of the guidance. That's why we're taking the revenues a little bit from 11 to 10.3% increase. And the EBITDA to 7%. We have, as you know, in all the conversation, we have some increasing costs of acquisition and programming and exchange rate on that part. That's what's hitting us. So we're getting the margin, the EBITDA margin, to around 42% by the end of the year. That's pretty much what we were expecting. In terms of subs, you know, what makes us there, get there, instead of 10% of the subscribers in video, we're targeting now between 8.5 to 9%, close to 8.5. That's where we think we will be. But, you know, internet, on the other hand, we have all our hopes on the broadband segment. We have an outstanding year. We were targeting
giving you a guidance of 15% before. Now we're raising that to 23%, almost 24%, if everything remains equal, like we expect. If we get better, it will be great for everybody on that part. And telephony also from 9% raising to 10.5, 11%. So we're going to wait to see fourth quarter how it comes. You know, we have great expectations, but of course, we won't be able to meet, like we said, the evidence. And that's something that all of you have mentioned in their releases, you know. And somewhere you've been in line pretty much with what you are assuming and seeing on the market. And well, promise you as the management of the company that we will try to do the best for this fourth quarter.
Great, very clear. And a second question, if I may, is regarding CapEx. I mean, since the beginning, I mean, there was no, I guess that the only thing you guys mentioned was that you would invest more than the $140 million of 2011. I just wonder, should we expect CapEx to remain at the same range for the fourth quarter as well? The same range, let's say the average we saw in the first 9 months of this year?
Right. We continue with the target in terms of CapEx for $175 million. So that's remained the same. So we expect to continue with the trend that we have so far.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys.
We have an increase in internet that requires, you know, CPEs, equipment on that part. But we've been very careful in terms of the launch of digital services in that part. We will relaunch, like we said before, new systems with the digital service now that we have the GTAC fully operational on that part. But that makes us assume that we will be on that range, like Luis says. You know, we will have an excess on CPE in terms of internet, but you know, like we have before, we have less digital set-top boxes because of the launch from the national backbone instead of doing independent headings. That's pretty much how we will remain that $175 million capex for this year.
That will be around the 25% of the revenues for the year.
Yeah. And the rest is still we're in target with the construction of the network, the increase of the network that we forecast. We're doing well with the upgrading of the network. Like you know, 97% is bidirectional, but we're upgrading also the frequency and the number of digital channels that we can use per system. So we have a very, very robust network on that part. And on the internet, like Enrique said before, some of our success is the migration of the speeds from 3 to 5 megabits, which is now the pretty much the slowest speed we can offer to the majority of the subscribers. From then we go to 10, 20, 50, and 100. So that capex goes directly to productive services and to subscriber competitive advantage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alejandro Galostra from BBVA.
Hi, good morning. Following on with the CapEx question.
We expect CapEx to remain pretty much for next year. We still have a lot to migrate from DOCSIS 2.0 to DOCSIS 3.0. Plus also on the digital side, we have 2 set-top boxes per home, but we do expect people to come on 2013 and 14 strong into the HD segment. That will require an additional set-top, and we don't expect people to throw away the old TV, which is not, you know, in all the cases, old TV. What we expect is people to raise from 2 to 2.5 set-top boxes average in home, and the CapEx will go to a better set-top box with the new technology. Like we said, now we have an offer of at least 35 HD channels in 70% by the end of this year, and 70% of our subscribers will have access to interactive and HD basic service for, you know, 35 channels, which is a very, very good offer offer for everybody to migrate from basic to HD. So our CapEx will go there. We'll go to those two services mainly. Like I said before, also we're doing something into the business and business segment, but that won't require much of our CapEx. The majority will go to CPEs and to conversion of the network for DOCSIS 3.0. By the end of this year, we will have almost 35% of our network, almost 40% of our network will be DOCSIS 3.0 capable, and we want to raise that number by far by 2013.
So Alejandro, I would say that at least for 2013, we will remain with the same percentage of revenues. We will be keeping that about the 25-26%.
Okay. And we have also seen an increasing cost that is putting pressure on margins, probably due to changing suppliers. So could you give us some additional color on what is going on here and the level of cost that we should expect going forward?
Well, like we said, on the cost, what we have this year, we have an increase in the number of some channels that we put and the cost of them, plus the exchange rate for those channels that are still targeting in dollars. Not all our programming, but some of the channels are still there. We increased some of the ESPN and Fox channels, which make our offer stronger on that part. We also carry on local channels with high costs in terms of programming. We do not expect the average cost of programming per subscriber to increase in the future. We do expect if the exchange rate takes a little bit below what it is right now, to take some pressure off that programming cost. But that's not controlled by us. What is controlled by us is the number and the cost that we have, so we don't expect that to raise. We have some pressure on the cost of the drops that we have there. The material costs got increased, and that's what it hurt us on that part. We do not expect to have another increase on that part in the year to come. So in general, you know, we're gonna have some savings on the GTAC, like we have mentioned every conversation we have with you. Those are not going to be also critical because we are migrating subscribers to a higher speed. But you know, we're getting some savings on that part.
And some contracts are still until next year, so we still have to keep those providers.
So you can assume that we will continue to be around that range, you know. Like we said, our guidance calls for 42% margin, so that's where we were expecting to be. We will try to do our efforts on the income, on the revenue. That's where we will like to push our campaigns, like I mentioned, the new Mega Cable HD Interactive. That's why it's target to premium subscribers, let's call it that way, with the HD, the new HD channel in MPEG-4, which is a really, really good compression, so the quality is great. You know, with the combination of a really, really good OTT and VOD platform, we expect to have a very innovative product on that part, and we'll see how the market will take it. I do assume that if economics out there will continue to be good in general, more and more people will take broadband with OTT and basic with HD and interactive services. So our strategy will go there. That's why we took the new package that I told you before. The new one calls from more product on the package for 649 pesos instead of just going for the lowest available. That's why we provide even 100 calls from fixed to mobile like the competition is doing. But we provide unlimited calls, you know, long distance calls, local calls, 5 megabits, which is higher than the competition in that part. You know, and a really good basic service. You know, all of that for 649. We will try to raise that part. We will continue to tell you how it goes. You know, you will see how it goes. But that's our strategy,
to try to keep the cost where it is, you know, try to put our effort there and try to increase the income on those segments.
I see, and since you are talking about better services in video, we have seen a pickup in the churn rate from 2.7 to 3%. What are the reasons behind this increase?
Yes, normally the third quarter has a temporality that hurts video, and it does help the other segments. It helps internet and helps telephony, but still from we increase our churn rate from 2.8 to 3%. In some of the systems, when we start doing the digital and that part, we suffer a little bit, and we did increase later on the penetration again. So we don't expect this to be a normal effect. We do expect fourth quarter to come back to normal in that part, and that's pretty much the reason.
Yeah, normally the third quarter is a good quarter for broadband because of the back to school. You know, the students come back from vacations, especially in cities like Guadalajara, where there is a big college population. And the third quarter is a little better for video because of the Christmas bonus and, you know, the Christmas vacation and Christmas spirit. So people tend to get more video than other products. So we expect to see a better quarter in video for the last quarter of the year. I'm sorry, this is Enrique. The levels of CapEx, again, you know, going back to that, we don't see them, going down as a percentage of the revenues or as a percentage of the EBITDA. This is a very competitive industry. Megacable is the company that maybe has the lowest or the most efficient CapEx ratio in Latin America, and I don't know, in the U.S. But in Latin America, for sure, we are. And we are very careful in the CapEx we do. We normally, the CapEx we do, that is aimed at increasing services and in increasing the potential of the company. We expect to keep it that way. And that's the way of keeping the company competitive and keeping our market share. We are by far the best positioned company for pay television in our service areas. We are very, very competitive in broadband, and we're getting more competitive in broadband every day. And we are doing a very good job in voice, and we expect to continue growing in all three products, across all three products, at a very reasonable CapEx ratio. We expect to keep the company that way, and we expect also that that in the mid and long term will help us get better outputs because we have a larger offering to the subscriber, you know, HD, VOD, bigger speeds, and as the customer or as the market gets a better economy, they will ask for better services. They will want better services. We are focused right now in getting market, so getting the customer to be with us, being inside their houses, and eventually they will want better services, and the services are there. We have a 5 megabit service, but we also have a 100 megabit service and 20 megabit service and 10 megabit service. We have a 50 channel offering, but we also have a 200 channel offering. We have HD offerings. So eventually, customers will migrate. We're doing efforts. We will keep doing efforts to upgrade them. And that's the focus of the company, being the best company, having the best offers, and being there for when the customer really thinks that they deserve or they want or they can afford a better service or an upgrade.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jose Vallejo from GBM.
Hi, good morning. Just one quick question. By the end of 2013, what is the progress or percentage expected on your network digitalization?
By the end of 2013, if everything goes right, we finally get the final agreement with the technology vendors or the technology providers, which we are right now in the middle of, we should be almost done by the end of 2013. And almost, by almost, we mean that we will have still left some small towns that don't make any sense to be 100% digital. But, yeah, we should be almost done by the end of 2013.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Enrique Gomez from HSBC.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. One, you mentioned previously that you were planning on launching a naked phone service. If you could just comment if you have done that already, and if so, if you could provide us an update. And if not, when do you plan to do this? And on the ARPU comment that you were making, Enrique, if you could update your guidance for 2012 maybe and 2013, do you expect them to remain stable or actually go up? Thank you.
The first part of the question, I didn't get it. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Enrique, we have the naked internet. It's a service. We have around 50,000 subscribers on the naked internet. We like the product that give us flexibility, but you know we're very very target to do also packages. You know the price we have for naked is of course higher by itself than what you can get if you do a double or a triple. You know we do have the product for those people that just want the internet, but we are target for everything together. For the rest, the guidance, like Luis was saying before, if you are talking about income revenue guidance and that, we do expect to lower that a little bit from 11 to 10.4, 10.3% in the income. And we're lowering the EBITDA guidance from 13 to 7%. That's a much more conservative and realistic on that part. Now that we know that subscribers, even so internet subscribers is raising a lot, from the 15% that we were estimating to 24%, and telephony from 9% to almost 11%. Video will be a little bit shorter from 10.5 to 8.5%. And that will take that and what we were explaining to you about the cost, the increasing cost that we have will take our margin down from the estimate of 44% to 42%. That's pretty much what's going to happen in 2012. General ARPU will remain pretty much like you see it right now. You know, they've been changing a little bit, but not much. We have a strong confidence in now that we have the HD channels to increase that part. Enrique was telling you on the digitalization and part of the questions Jose had before. The digitalization, we slow it a little bit because we're still looking at the best options available. This is a long-term project and we have to be very careful on that. We already have the best of the technologies that were in the market, that are in the market, and we're now exploring new ways to digitalize as a more efficient way to get mostly to get HD set-top boxes on a much more cost-effective way. That's why we are being conservative in terms of how we are deploying the digital services in that way. I don't know if that answered your question.
So did you? I think also in internet or broadband, I'm not sure if you captured the number for the guidance for the 2012 year. We expect that to grow 23% instead of the 15% that we targeted at the beginning of the year. And in telephony, instead of 9%, we are targeting now about 10.5%.
Okay, perfect.
And
now that's clear.
For 2013, we have not really reached a consensus yet. We are working as we speak on that, and we think that maybe by next month we will be able to have a closer number that we can talk about.
So maybe we will do a conversation with all of you and give you a more accurate numbers in November.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, and Enrique, in terms of the naked internet and that, we do consider naked internet, both business and residential in that part. But really on the residential part, the naked internet is half of those 50, what about 25,000 is raising, but that's why it's not raising that much in terms of the total internet subscriber, which is almost 800,000,
Okay, and just to clarify, you don't have a naked phone service?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes?
No, naked phone, no. We have a naked internet service.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if I may, just one last small question. Inventories went down significantly. If you could just briefly comment on what happened there?
Well, on inventories, what happened is during the beginning of the year, we always bring all the equipment and all the cabling and all the things that we need for the construction of our new kilometers of network. As we go on in the year and we are closer to achieve our construction targets, we lower that inventory because of the usage. And we have also reduced the number of months that we have on stock for the cables for our drop. So that's the main reason for the inventory to come down.
Yeah, in Mexico it's very hard to keep for an industry, for a company like us, the just-in-time system for materials for expansion and construction, because most of the equipment and materials we need for maintenance and expansion of the network is imported. So we rather have a 3 or 4 month inventory in our warehouses in order to be to never stop doing things and be able to do a proper maintenance and the right rhythm of expansion of the network that we need. And that's why we rather keep in stock at the beginning of the year a larger stock. It costs us some money to do that, but it's better than not having the material.
Okay, perfect. So we could expect them to increase somehow to previous levels as you repurchase equipment.
Maybe not as high as that, because everything every year is getting better and better. The importing process is better, and maybe it's not as high as we had it at the beginning of the year. But yeah, you will see an increase in inventory.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, dial *1 on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Erwin Van Zuidien from Certia Investments.
Yes, good morning. I have two questions. First, could you comment a bit on your negotiations with free TV channels and content providers about payments you receive or payments you have to do to purchase the content? Are prices going up or how do you see the development for the next year? And secondly, could you split up CapEx in terms of success rate base, so the set-up boxes you have to provide to your customers and the routers you have to give to your customers, and the CapEx for upgrading your network?
In regards to the programming, this year, 2012, was a key year. We reached this year long-term or mid-term or multi year agreements with key programmers as Fox networks, so that they have something like we use like 13 of their channels. We have a long-term agreement with Disney and ESPN. We also have a multi-year agreement this year. We reached a multi-year agreement this year with other vendors like Discovery and Viacom, which is MTV. We also reached a multi-year agreement with Televisa this year. So basically 2013 and 2014 are very easy years for us.
We are only looking at new, maybe new channels. And we have a lot of solicitations of new networks to getting in our network, in our lineup. But, you know, we are really being very selective on what we choose, you know. If they have to be channels that really offer a value-added perception to our subscribers, our customers. But, yeah, we think we are in a very good position right now for the coming years in the agreements we have signed with the programming providers, especially the important providers that we have.
What kind of price inflation do you expect for the coming years for your content payments?
It's very reasonable, not more than inflation, and sometimes they are tied to the increase of our. If we don't increase rates, they won't increase their rates also to us. So it's very reasonable. We think we are happy with what we have. In some cases, you know, which means it was a very good agreement. The programmer is not happy. We are not either. So that means that we got part of what we wanted. And but in case that we are not very happy, it's because we have to increase maybe some more channels. And in case that they are not happy, it's because they didn't get the distribution they wanted sometimes. But you know, I think we did very, very good agreements with them. And especially we have a very good relationship with everyone in the programming industry, and we have a partner relationship with most of them, and that helps us in the future. You know, we don't see an increase in programming that will hurt the company in the coming years.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Hi. Good morning. A couple of questions, if I may. First, I was wondering if you're negotiating to retransmit affected channels now that they lowered their fees significantly. The second question would be if you see any threat from the recently launched naked broadband offering from Telmex. And finally, I was wondering if I got it right, and shall we expect you to propose to pay around 500 million pesos in dividends this year? Thank you.
Yeah, you're in the dividend side, you are pretty close to what we think that the board and the shareholders will approve. With Azteca, we're still talking to Azteca, but if we don't reach, I mean, we've been talking to them. They are in a much more reasonable position now. We think that if we can get to an agreement that benefits our subscribers and doesn't hurt our cost or our structure, we will sign something with them. We want, if they don't modify certain provisions that they want to put in the contract that are not market wise, they are not reasonable for a programmer to put in a contract. And but yeah, we are talking to them. We are trying to reach an agreement, and we are trying to get a reasonable contract with them. But it's nothing that I mean, our subscribers and the company took the hit already. I mean, we don't get any more calls about Azteca. It's the audience and the subscriber migrated to other options. But we think that we got to have a good relationship with as many people as we can. And if it's in our hands to reach an agreement, and a reasonable agreement, we'll do it. But it's got to be in those terms.
Make it in Telmex like a problem.
Rodrigo, the other question you had regarding the naked broadband from Telmex. We already have, like, you know, how's that?
No, yes, please go ahead. No, I thought you wanted me to repeat the question.
No. You have three questions: the Azteca, the peso dividend, and the naked broadband. You know, and the naked, we do have a naked broadband service which is way more competitive than what they have right now. We feel They also came with also the calls from fixed to mobile. We have those products already in place in a very, very competitive manner. So we will continue to do what we are doing. You know, we want to do more and more and more double and triple play packages and try to get a better bundle service with the 649 compared to others that we used to have, which was just the mini Joe, we call it. Now we have a much more advanced with the services. So we have naked broadband, like I said, in summary, and it's with a very good speed and has a better price.
Understood. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one on your phone to pose a question. Our next question comes from Andre Sabah from Credit Suisse.
Good morning, and thank you for the call. Just one quick question. In relation to the strategy you were outlining a few minutes ago, where would you like to see your revenue mix going in the midterm or long term, say in 3 or 5 years? Like you have like 61% video now or 20% internet of your revenues. Where would you see this in the future? Thank you.
Well, we think that the revenues of the company will balance maybe in 2 or 3 years to 50% video and 50% the rest of the products. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a 61% video, and that doesn't mean that video is going to drop. We think that video is going to keep growing, but also the other products are growing at a faster speed. Mm-hmm. So we think that that's where we see our revenues maybe 2 or 3 years, 50-50.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue. I would like to turn it back over to our speakers for closing remarks.
Well, you really put us to work today, guys. There's a lot of questions, and I'm glad about that. And I really thank you for your interest in the company. And you can be sure that all the management of Megacable is committed to delivering the best results that we can to the investor community and to our shareholders. And we really thank you again for your interest in this company and for joining us for this quarterly conference call. As always, please contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
All thanks, Ben, from my part with Raimundo and Enrique put it very well. We were very happy to hear all of you having questions and being in the conference. I think we're doing things like expected, and we'll try to do better. So we're open for any questions you have and any time that you want to talk about the cable industry and how we're doing things. We're available, all of us. So thank you again.
Well, and from my part, I just want to thank everybody for their time, and we are really happy for the audience today. Any other question, you know, we are always open, so just give us a phone call or send us an email, and we'll be more than glad to answer. That's all from my side. Thank you very much, and talk to you next time.
Thank you. This does conclude our teleconference for the day. You may now disconnect.